President Obama possibly fulfilling a campaign promise. He's issued a directive that makes it a new policy, at least for hospitals that treat Medicare and Medicaid patients, makes it easier for gays to visit their same-sex partners while they're in the hospital and make decisions about their medical care. For more on this, we're joined by Leslie Gabel-Brecht. She's the Director of Education and Public Affairs for Lambda Legal. That's an advocacy group. And also David Smith joins us. He's Vice President of Policy for the Human Rights Campaign that worked with the White House on this memo. Leslie, let me go to you first, because President Obama actually made a phone call to your client about her case and how much it moved him, and that's possibly a motivator behind this memo.
Yeah, it really was. And of course, she was thrilled to get that phone call, and we were so grateful to the president for reaching out to her. I mean, this is a story that grows out of a tragedy, and the tragedy has led to a change that's going to affect hundreds of thousands of lesbian and gay families across the country. And what happened to Janice was that her partner, Lisa, of over 20 years, collapsed suddenly of a fatal brain aneurysm. And when they were rushed to the hospital in Miami, the hospital refused to let Janice see her partner for over 8 hours, not recognizing their relationship, not giving her any information, not treating her like family. And it wasn't until Lisa's sister arrived that Janice was finally able to see her for a few minutes, by which time she was already unconscious and passed away, and soon thereafter passed away.
Despite the fact that she had power of attorney and four adopted children.
Yes, that's right. She did have the documentation with her that said she was the designated person to make medical decisions, but the hospital still did not allow her to see her partner. It's just a tragic, painful story, and we brought suit on her behalf against Jackson Memorial Hospital, and the courts in Florida said, well, there is actually no law that requires the hospital to have allowed her to visit, and I think what the president is now saying is that's unacceptable. We need to have laws and policies that allow people to see their loved ones and the ones they designate to see them and make decisions for them in the hospital.
You know, the president's relationship with the gay and lesbian community has been slightly troubled. People feel that he's been foot-dragging, and a lot of people said that this is great that he's issued this directive, but they expected it right after he was inaugurated. Do you think he's moving too slowly on these issues?
Well, we're just happy to see it now. Of course, there's a lot of things that we're hoping the president would do and is going to do, and we're still working with him and urging him to do them, and this is one of them, and we're just really thrilled and excited that we're moving forward on this.
What exactly? This is being described as something that doesn't actually change the law in any particular way. It just outlines a policy that already exists. Is that accurate?
Well, he's directing the Secretary of Health and Human Services to put out new rules, and of course there'll be a process when the rules come out for approving those rules that will require hospitals who receive Medicaid and Medicare, which is practically 100% of hospitals, to have rules in place that require them to respect the people that individuals designate as their visitors in the hospital. That is new. There's a second part of it that also requires, or will be a rule and strengthening rules to require hospitals to respect advanced directives. Those are the documents that people write, giving power of decision making to their loved ones in the case that they're incapacitated. And that should already be the case and is part of our law, but the president is asking HHS to strengthen those rules and make sure that hospitals comply.
That is Leslie Gabel-Brecht. She's the Director of Education and Public Affairs for Lambda Legal, an advocate group. Also with us, David Smith, Vice President of Policy for the Human Rights Campaign. David, you worked with the White House on crafting this memo. You know, we have heard a lot of stories about disagreements between families of a patient and the same-sex partner, and how that sometimes devolves into legal wrangling. Will this memo settle those legal issues, or is it going to bring up new ones?
Well, I think it'll clarify it for hospitals across this country. We'll now need to recognize gay and lesbian relationships and provide access to a patient for their partner. And it just makes it's common sense, common decency, quite frankly, in the most trying of times when an emergency strikes a family and you want your family around you. And this action the president took simply clarifies that for hospitals.
Could there have been more that went into this to outline policy? I know that some gay and lesbian advocacy groups were asking for the president to go even further than he did.
Well, there are a number of things that a president, any president for that matter, can enact by virtue of their power as president and the administration. And we've been working with the administration since the transition on a whole host of initiatives that the administration could act on. This is simply just one of those. And obviously, we continue to work with the administration and work with Congress on pressing our legislative agenda, which we're very anxious about and continue to work very hard to promote.
But, is this the fulfillment of a campaign promise? I mean, I know that the gay and lesbian community feels like the president, like I said to Leslie, is dragging its feet a little. Is he moving too slowly?
Well, obviously, we would like to see all these things done tomorrow so we can sort of get on with our lives. But it's all part of a process, and it's all part of the political process, which you just have to keep working at and working at. Any civil rights scholar or historian will tell you it doesn't all occur at once. It's a process, and you keep fighting for it, and you keep working for it, and ultimately, you keep your eye on the prize, and ultimately, it's there. So, obviously, we'd like to see things move quicker, but it's moving, and this is a tremendous step forward, and we applaud the president for this action.
David Smith is the Vice President of Policy for the Human Rights Campaign. Leslie Gabel-Brecht, had this memo that was just issued yesterday been in place when your clients had one of them went into the hospital, would that have avoided the situation in Florida that occurred when she and her children couldn't visit the patient?
Yes. I mean, the tragedy is that this won't help Janice and Lisa because Lisa is gone, but it will help so many other thousands of people going forward, and that's a real legacy to Janice and Lisa and their children.
Leslie Gabel-Brecht is the Director of Education and Public Affairs for Lambda Legal, an advocacy group. Thanks to you both for joining us. Coming up in the show, we're going to be talking about movies, as we always do on Friday. And today we're talking about a movie coming out this weekend in which an ordinary teenager decides to be a superhero. And we're asking you, if you could do the same thing, what superhero would you be and why? Librarian Tom from Florida says, I've always wanted to be Belt and Gasket Man so I can melt the belts and gaskets of cars that cut me off in traffic. Great idea, Tom. Give us your super wish at 8778-MYTAKE or at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.